Hey, welcome back to the Mining Pod. On today's show, we are joined by Sam Tabar of Bit Digital. We talk with Sam about their Bitcoin mining strategy, AI, and his outlook going into the halving. Before we jump into the show, we want to thank Forman Mining, our lead sponsor for this podcast. You'll hear from Forman a little bit later in the episode. We also want to push people to go check out blockspace.media, our newsletter. You can go check out some primary content on there, first-rate original stuff, including next week, some data from our friends over at Hashbranch. They compiled a little outlook on January's hosting numbers for us right there. So go check that out, blockspace.media. Okay, let's jump into the episode.
Want to mine Bitcoin? Gator Mining offers premium hosting with as low as one unit per client, 95% uptime guaranteed, no curtailment, 24/7 monitoring and maintenance, in-house certified repair center, clean and renewable energy, all at competitive market rates. Work with an individualized team to get hash rate flowing your way today. Gator Mining, pioneering trustworthy crypto hosting for optimal mining success. Contact Gator Mining today at gatormining.ca.
Bitcoin miners, be prepared. Hash rate is moving upstream towards power plants and low-value energy. Don't get cut off. Modernize and mobilize your Bitcoin mining fleet today with Upstream Data's high-performance load centers. Plug in Upstream Data's hash hut and monetize surplus wind power reliably in the blistering heat of West Texas. Plumb in hash generators and safely convert natural gas into cash in the frigid winters of northern Canada. Upstream offers high-quality load centers that will help you mine Bitcoin safely and reliably in every application and climate. Mobilize today and start mining upstream at upstreamdata.com.
Are you a retail or institutional investor interested in Bitcoin mining companies? The Miner Mag brings you free data and analysis from all major NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin mining operations to know who stands out. Check out visualized metrics and data-dependent stories at theminermag.com.
Welcome back to the Mining Pod. Today, we're joined by Sam Tabar of Bit Digital. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Will. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we've been having a few requests to get you guys on, so definitely glad we got you to start the year off. So you are the CEO of Bit Digital, and we're going to go through all things Bit Digital, which you guys are definitely like an up-and-coming name. A lot of different business lines that we're going to go through, including like Bitcoin mining, e-staking, AI play. So we'll get to that all during the show. But of course, classic intro. Got to ask about yourself first, and then we'll go into Bit Digital and kind of give like a little recap.
Well, I started my career as a lawyer for a law firm called Skadden in New York. And after a number of years of doing that, I realized I did not want to be a lawyer, although I'm still technically a lawyer today. And I moved over to Japan and I joined a Japanese hedge fund. We ended up becoming a powerhouse in the whole Asia Pacific region. We acquired other hedge funds across Asia. I was responsible for some of those deals. And after a number of years of doing that, Bank of America Merrill Lynch asked me to run their capital strategy for Asia Pacific, which I did for a number of years. Then I came back to New York and I started a blockchain company called Fluidity. It was backed by notable people in crypto like Mike Novogratz and Joe Lubin and Brock Pierce. And we came up with a concept called a decentralized exchange. It was pretty early days for that kind of concept. There were other forerunners for that concept as well, but we were pretty early. It was called AirSwap. It went viral to some degree. And we sold that. It was me and two co-founders, and we sold that to Consensus, which is owned by Joe Lubin. And then I moved on to join the executive team at Bit Digital, which is a publicly listed company, a Bitcoin mining company. I'm currently CEO.
Nice. I didn't know you came from AirSwap. I used to cover Ethereum back in the day for CoinDesk. And so definitely talked with some of the AirSwap team members. So it's kind of cool to go back into that. What led you from the Ethereum ecosystem over to Bitcoin mining? There's maybe a handful of us who've actually kind of jumped that bridge and come back into, you know, Bitcoin world, quote unquote.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a good point. I saw that there was a problem in Bitcoin mining with respect to the environment. I saw that about 3.5 years ago. And the idea of a Bitcoin miner leaning in towards being environmentally friendly was something that was kind of laughed at about 4 years ago. And I thought that was a problem. I joined this company, and from very early days, we decided to become really clean. We were actually, I think, one of the first, if not the first, to lean in really hard on making sure that the entire fleet was using powers, using clean sources of power like hydro and geothermal. And we can get into that a little bit later today. So, you know, we started our fleet in China, actually, and we migrated that fleet well before the announcement of the Bitcoin mining ban in China, about 6 months before we started the migration towards the United States. And we parked a lot of our fleet near clean sources of power. One of them happens to be in Niagara Falls. We were drawing power from the Niagara River. And it's pretty ironic if you think about it, because in Buffalo, that used to be a center of gravity for the United States. So China banned Bitcoin mining. And so we moved that industry back to a place that in the United States, in Buffalo, that was devastated when China took over all that manufacturing that Buffalo used to be responsible for. So it was this poetic justice in a way of putting a new industry back in town that China had banned. And I think China probably has some regrets doing that. So I think I over answered your question there.
No, that was great. I actually want to pull into a few of those points before we kind of talk about the Bit Digital side of things. We'll get to like sort of the profile for the company. On the green energy part, so that's still a contentious point. I think it's less contentious than maybe 2021, 2022. It seems like with the ESG narrative has somewhat rolled over. We've kind of even seen that in public stocks where like these ESG ETFs are not doing as hot as they were a few years ago.
That's right.
What do you think about that whole play still?
Well, I mean, environmental, social, governmental, ESG. So there's a lot of conflation going on there. So I don't believe in the S and G part, but I do believe in the E part. And I do think that if you can operate your company and make money and create material revenue in a way that doesn't damage the environment, I think that's always a good thing. And we're carbon free. We're not carbon neutral. I don't believe in carbon neutrality. Carbon neutrality is basically, you know, causing the damage and then buying certificates to neutralize that damage. That's like taking a giant shit in the room and taking an air freshener and spraying it. That's not what we're doing. We're doing carbon free. In other words, we're actually using clean sources of power, not bad sources, not dirty sources of power, and buying certificates to make up for it. So that's really important. It's an important distinction to make between being carbon free and carbon neutral. People who are carbon neutral, I just really roll my eyes out.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any bones to pick with like people in Bitcoin mining who are either doing like the carbon credit thing or going like full oil and gas?
No, it's mining? It's just philosophical difference. I'd rather not take a shit in the room.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, it's a great transition over to the profile of Bit Digital. So tell me a little bit about like your guys' mining operations. It's carbon neutral. And then also you have a lot of other stuff in terms of
carbon free.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have operations. We're probably one of the most diversified. I believe we're probably the most diversified in terms of operations. We have 6 operating partners, a few in the United States, in Canada also, and a couple of operations in Iceland. We draw from hydro and geothermal being volcanic power. And both sources of power are carbon free. We're in the 90s%, I would imagine, carbon free. So we're gonna stay there. It's important for us.
Nice. And then in terms of like the size, energy allocations that you guys have out there, and then pricing, how do you guys kind of look into that? Assuming going in Iceland, it sort of helps out that you guys are.
Yeah, there is a myth that people are paying premium for clean sources of power. I think that was true some time ago, and that remains to be a little bit true. In certain parts of the world, you can use very dirty sources of power and get it to 2 cents per kilowatt hour or something like that. But we you're not really paying a big premium for clean sources of power. And frankly, if you are still a dirty Bitcoin miner in this day and age, you're painting a target behind your back. You're creating an existential risk for yourself because the regulators could step in and pull the rug from under you. And that's just not a risk as a public listed company. That's not a risk we want to take. So what we've done is we've diversified our risk by being clean. We have six operating partners. So we have jurisdictional risk. So we have Iceland, Canada, United States. So we diversified our jurisdictional risk. We have six operating partners. So we've diversified our operation risk. And we believe that's really the right way to go. For other companies, I know there are other publicly listed companies that really put a lot of their eggs in one basket. Like, for example, you know, certain companies put like, they have their entire operations in say Texas. That could be a problem if something goes wrong there. One other approach that we distinguish ourselves from is that we're infrastructure light. So we do not buy the infrastructure. Unlike other companies, they're completely vertically integrated. So they buy, say, a data center in Texas. They have, say, 300 employees. We don't do that. That to us, we're kind of allergic to that because we want to stay nimble and we want to create competitive tension amongst our operating partners to get really attractive pricing. And of course, we do have a profit share to make sure that our operating partners are aligned in our interest. So we do give up a little bit on the upside, but we're very well protected on the downside. And the downside means that we could always pick up our machines and leave and put them at another operating partner if we don't like the situation, which we continue to do all the time to create that competitive tension. So we like the fact that we're diversified operationally. We do give up a little bit on the upside, but we're well protected on the downside. And that's been our DNA, to protect our downside and to always survive. And that's why we've moved our fleet from China. That's why we have six operating partners. That's why we're in three different countries. That's why we have an incredible balance sheet, no debt. We really think about the downside, and we try not to drink our own Kool-Aid when Bitcoin's going up.
Hey listeners, let's talk about revolutionizing your mining operation with Foreman. This isn't your average management tool. It's an all-in-one solution for reducing costs and significantly boosting your revenue. Foreman brings a cutting-edge dashboard to your fingertips, empowering you with automated energy strategies. This means not only curtailing around real-time prices, but also strategically enhancing your profit margins through demand response. It's about leveraging energy efficiency to its fullest potential. With Foreman, you get a system that scales with your business, inventory management for assets, infrastructure integration, and business intelligence. Foreman elevates the cash flow and production of your entire operation. To see how Foreman can redefine your mining operation standards, visit foreman.mn. With Foreman, you're not just managing a mining operation, you're setting a new standard in the industry.
Let's keep on that point a little bit, because Marathon Digital would probably be like the classic example that infrastructure light, they're transitioning out of that. They had a few sites that like didn't work out very well. And so they had to like sort of use that big treasury to go and purchase assets. Right. So they could host. From your guys' perspective, was that like always the long-term play, or is that like a strategy that sort of evolved over the last few years because you had to do it necessarily? And then how do you think about like managing those downside risks? What are some things that you guys look at in terms of like identifying new sites, identifying new partners, rotating out partners?
It puzzles me to buy data centers at this point because there's something called the halving coming up. And for your audience, the short version of the halving is that every 4 years, just to make it not technical, every 4 years, the algorithm is such that with respect to Bitcoin mining operations, the revenues would be cut in half. So when you know your revenues are going to be cut in half, it doesn't make sense to me mathematically to increase your sunk costs. In other words, to have these data centers on your balance sheet and you have to pay overhead and hundreds of employees, and you have to pay no matter where the Bitcoin price is, you have to pay these people and keep it going. And in our instance, we have a curtailment. We could just shut it down. If Bitcoin goes down a certain price, we could just shut everything down and we don't have any crazy overhead to pay. So I'm a little bit surprised about certain decisions in terms of buying data centers. The last thing you want to do is increase your overhead with this event coming up. And we've done other things as well that's very unique and no one else has done in the sector that I can get into, by creating massive revenue lines that are completely uncorrelated to the price of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into the AI play, which I think you're alluding to there. I want to ask one more question
on this portion here. So you're saying that like you have a curtailment. Do you guys have anything on the opposite side of that, like a hedge that would, you know, you'd have to pay in that instance where you guys choose to curtail, or is there anything associated with how you guys do your JVs?
It's mostly focused on curtailment.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, some of these interesting plays in Texas, I would say, are the fact that they buy the infrastructure and then they have to, you know, go and buy the hedge associated with it when they're doing the curtailment. And it works out pretty well, but sometimes you have to have the complete package. So let's go over to the ASIC side of things and then also like your team. How do you guys operate across these six different sites? What are the units you guys are going out and purchasing? How do you think about fleet management? And then, you know, we'll move on to AI in a second.
Yeah, we've always been counter-cyclical in terms of our growth strategy. So a couple of years ago, when everybody was growing like crazy, we didn't, because the machines were 10 times more than they were today. And we've just been careful in terms of not buying at the top. And so, in fact, we just announced this morning, that we procured a couple of thousands of machines and six more megawatts here in the state of New York. So we're careful in our growth. We have announced that we are doubling the size of our fleet by the end of this year. We did double the size of our fleet last year. We'll do it again this year. But we do that judiciously, and we procure machines at the right time, at the right price. And we already have contracted power with our various operating partners in order to fill the capacity when we have those machines at hand. So we're pretty confident, but we're always looking for new operating partners. Anybody looking at this interview who's operating a data center that's rack and stacked ready, please approach me. We're always looking for new ones. Why? Because again, we have to create competitive tension amongst our existing partners to make sure we get the best pricing. So we do good and do right by our shareholders.
That's interesting to hear about the 2 exahash or the doubling announcement. From the funding side of things, you guys have the energy and then you guys are looking to buy ASICs this year is more or less the play. Does that change if ASIC prices go up a lot? I mean, right now they're still pretty steady. I mean, they have gone up a little bit.
We bought a few thousand recently and we'll continue buying it at the right time, of course. But we have said that we're going to get to 6 exahash by the end of this year, and we intend to do that.
Great. Okay, let's go to AI. Obviously, one of the bigger topics for last year, and we'll probably only grow in importance as we go into bull run. I mean, there's going to be so many AI tokens out there. It's going to make people's heads numb. From a mining perspective, you know, I'm definitely thinking that there's a lot of fads to this. I wrote an op-ed in CoinDesk about a year ago to that point where I saw a lot of these Bitcoin miners putting out like they had an AI play, and it's like, okay, who's actually doing this and who's just putting out a PR announcement? So I do come into this interview a little skeptical about AI. I'll put that out there. I'm not asking you to convince me, but I am asking, what's your guys' play? How are you guys thinking about this? How does this fit into the revenue streams you guys are building up with Bitcoin mining? How does it even fit into like the infrastructure part of what you guys are doing?
First of all, Will, I encourage your skepticism, and I am too. Very, very skeptical of people who are announcing AI aspirations. We did not announce an AI aspiration. We did not announce a dream in AI. We announced a business. We actually have a business where we're getting $50 million annualized revenue. That's going to grow exponentially, by the way. And so we announced a business. We have procured the H100s, the machines. We have that already shipped out to Iceland. It's already generating revenue in Iceland, in a very remote part in Iceland. We have our client. It's an anchor client. We intend to diversify our client base, of course, but that client, that anchor client, has insatiable demands for its AI applications. We are not creating the AI. We're not doing the large language models, of course. We're just simply renting out the computational power that helps build those LLMs. But we have a client. We have a business, and that business is going to grow this year. And so we did not announce an aspiration like other Bitcoin miners have. We announced a business, and we're proud of that. We don't think the market has given us credit for that. I think in many ways, the other Bitcoin miners that have announced these AI aspirations have poisoned the well. And people like you are skeptical of people just jumping on the AI bandwagon. And I think the markets have reacted very with I guess, healthy skepticism on what we're doing. But we have a business and we're getting revenue. And $50 million a year is a lot. And it more than covers our overhead, and plus more. So we're the only Bitcoin miner in the sector in which we have this incredible business. And in a sense, we're a call option on Bitcoin. So if Bitcoin goes up, we're going to do very, very well. But if Bitcoin doesn't do well, doesn't go up, if it continues to go sideways or down, we'll continue to do well because we have this incredible AI business with certainty of revenue over the next 3 years. That revenue is going to grow 3 years. No matter where Bitcoin goes, we have this. And there's no Bitcoin mining company in the public sector that can actually say that. It's frustrating to me that we have not received credit for that. It's frustrating. But I think in due course, time is our friend, and eventually the markets will give us credit.
Gotcha. I mean, I'm not asking you to comment on your share price, but it does look like it's sort of where it was, a little higher than it was last year. And that has been sort of the story with mining stocks over the last year, where like a lot of them rebounded from like their 2022 lows and gained back their power, I'd say. but last few weeks has been kind of a downtrend. So again, not asking you to comment on share price because that is not necessarily something we can do on the show. But I want to keep with the AI play a little bit and talk more about that. When you're talking about revenue over a year, what does that look like? Is that from a Q4 projection of last year? You guys are kind of projecting over this coming year. How do you guys really do projections is what I'm wondering for AI, since it's very different than Bitcoin mining, right? Bitcoin mining is like, okay, we know we're going to get these blocks. We have this much hash rate. Let's project how much hash rate competitors are going to have. We can figure it out. For AI, what does that look like?
I actually think it's much more difficult to project for Bitcoin revenue because you don't know where the price of Bitcoin is going to be. That's actually one of the reasons why our balance sheet has been debt-free and clean for years. We never took on debt to buy machines. Why? Because you just don't know where the price is going to be. So you couldn't really project, you couldn't really do the financial modeling when it comes to paying out the debt you have for buying these Bitcoin miners, because you just don't know where the price of Bitcoin is going to be. So we never took on debt on the balance sheet, unlike a lot of our peers who, you know, sort of drank their own Kool-Aid and took on a lot of debt. And many of them have gone bankrupt as a result. Yeah. So we didn't do that. Much easier when you have certainty of revenue, contractual certainty of revenue over 3 years. So this is a very different story. Mm-hmm. Our revenue just started just literally last week. It's annualized 12 million. So you'd have to, I guess, subtract 1 month from that, or subtract a month, because we started late, I think January 25th or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact date, but it was late in January. The revenue started $50 million annualized over 3 years. So that's much easier to project because it's contractual. We have an obligation. Client has to take it regardless. Mm-hmm. So the client has to pay regardless. And the client's well capitalized. So we are very comforted by that. And we stay in the game of Bitcoin mining too, because we're doubling the size of our fleet. So, I mean, isn't it more amazing to look at a company that does well regardless of where Bitcoin goes? That's just me.
Yeah. No, I mean, adding different lines of revenue is a big deal. I think you've seen a few Bitcoin miners do as well. The first one that comes to mind for me is Riot. They have an engineering part of their company that most people don't even think of. And you know, that's building entire sites for them. And I believe also doing some other engineering work outside of Bitcoin mining. So it makes sense to diversify in that sense, because Bitcoin mining obviously is so cyclical. Okay, we can kind of move on from the AI stuff right there. Unless there's any future announcements or plans you guys have for that AI division you'd like to make. I haven't seen anything to date.
Not yet.
You know, I always got to tease it though. Okay, let's go over to some other details. One thing I did want to ask about is I saw Brock Pierce is on the board. Brock Pierce obviously has a long history within crypto. He's on the board of Tether, helped found Tether. And then he's been involved in many, many different companies out there, and somewhat, polarizing figure within crypto. And so I want to get your take on how he came to be with Bit Digital and what his role is at Bit Digital.
Sure. Well, Brock, I've known Brock for a number of years. He financially backed me when I co-founded Fluidity, which created AirSwap. And we sold that company and successfully, and all the shareholders made money, including him. But he remained a friend. And when I joined Bit Digital, we thought it might make a lot of sense given his experience in the industry. As you had mentioned, he has got great experience. And you're right, he is a polarizing figure to some degree, but he's also a friend, and he's been nothing but generous with his time, and he's been great to he's been very generous with his knowledge as well. So that's the reason why we have him on the board.
Gotcha. Yeah. Not many follow-up questions there. Interesting to see him on the board, but there's obviously like many different players within this ecosystem who joined boards on that sort of capacity. And then on top of that, like the experience with Tether and other things makes sense. Okay, wrapping up here shortly, want to get to some thoughts on Bit Digital in 2024, some forecasting for maybe just your business, and then we'll get to Bitcoin mining in general. What are some things that you're looking at being like, okay, this is what people should be paying attention to, and this is how Bit Digital is operating on top of that?
Yeah, I think I may have signaled already in this interview, people should be looking at, normally the reason why people buy stock in Bitcoin mining, in the Bitcoin mining sector, is that there's a lot of beta. So if Bitcoin goes up, Bitcoin mining stocks tend to go up even more. That's the general thesis, historically anyway. And so with the halving coming up, it's important to look at the sector and see which one is very well positioned. And you have to look at, okay, what are their revenue streams? Is their strategy that they hope Bitcoin goes up? Because that's not a good strategy. Hope is not a good strategy. You have to run a business. If you're running a business on hope, that's not the best way to go. So you have to look at the companies who are running their strategy on hope, or are they running a responsible strategy? So what does that mean? Diversified business. Is it just diversified nominally, or is it diversified materially? What is really their diversification? And so you look at the percentage of the bottom line with respect to their diversified businesses, and you pick a winner there. And by the way, I should mention, a lot of people have this fetish about the largest Bitcoin miner. Size doesn't really make a difference in many ways. It's not really a business that scales, and you get this, you get the benefit of the scaling. So it's important to look at a Bitcoin miner and look at their business. And of course, I'm biased. I'm CEO of this company, so I will speak about our company. And I think we're well positioned. We have this AI business. It's a real business. It's not a dream. We have a fleet. We're doubling the size of that fleet. We're doing that responsibly by procuring machines at the right time. We have a number of operating partners in three different countries, so we're very well diversified from an operational risk. And our balance sheet is pristine. So I think that's really the way to go.
In terms of the size comment there, what is a metric you look at for Bitcoin mining fleets that you think is more interesting? You mentioned the diversified revenue, but I'm zeroing in on just like Bitcoin mining specifically. Is it like margins or something else?
Yeah, of course, margins. But I guess, again, you have to look at the diversification of the operations. If you're fully in on one data center, and there's a real operational risk. These data centers, things can go wrong. There are black swan events that can happen. The regulator can shut you down. So it's important to look at things from a diversified perspective. So again, diversification of revenue and diversification of operations. Those are two of the most important things you want to look at when it comes to the Bitcoin mining sector.
Awesome. Sam, thank you for joining the show. Where can people follow along with Bit Digital and what you guys are up to?
Yeah, we're on Twitter or X. So please follow us there. Of course, our website, bit-digital.com. And we're very accessible. So if there are any questions, IR at bit-digital.com. Please email us or ask the question in public on the comment section of our X account. We'd be happy to help with that.
Awesome. Thanks again for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.